Welcome back to Zander and Hanley on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
2-2 swing and a missed strike three. Beat him on 97 off the outside for his first strikeout. Swing and a missed strike three on a slider. Back-to-back K's for Michael. Michael has a sign from Yaz. And here's the 3-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. Kopech just struck out the side. Got him looking on a slider. Candelario strikes out looking. Seven strikeouts for Kopech. 3-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. Third straight punch out. He's got nine in the game. 0-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. That's 10 for Kopech.
How about that? Michael King, White Sox, 11 Ks yesterday. What a performance over last time. Kind of seems like what Dylan Cease was doing last year. Wildly inconsistent. Does he have a Dylan Cease-like future? Well, we certainly hope so. Welcome in Saturday morning. It's ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley. Brian, that was certainly a bright spot, although I was just banging my head against the wall at the lack of offense, just still. And thankfully, Andrew Vaughn came through. But boy, it is a tough watch. Even as entertaining as Michael Kopech was, it is a tough watch still.
Nothing comes easy for you. No. Chicago White Sox. It's no. Always something. And they're now 9-8 in the latest stretch where they were going to make a big run, right?
But wait a minute. This is the easy part of the schedule. That was it.
Yeah, in the 20 games against losing teams, they're now 9-8. So my math, they've got a few more.
Wait, that means we're a losing team. Well, not officially, but
Hey,
we hit above. We hit three above 500 temporarily, sure. But we did.
But now find yourself a game over 500. But it's still early, because that's all I keep hearing. But, you know,
It is not early.
The good news is Michael Kopech looked really, really good after he said he didn't feel so good between starts and actually, you know, going into that game.
Here's the not feeling well, right? Yeah.
But 85 pitches, and Tony says, well, no-nos are nice, but not tonight, Mike.
Yeah, does that bother you? It does not bother me as much as it's bothered White Sox Twitter that I've been seeing since last night. People are just losing their minds. It's like there are so many other things to lose your mind about. Keeping Michael Kopech in, a guy who needs confidence, and any longer, if that thing went off the rails, that just ruins what he's already done. We have a bullpen. I'm okay with it. I think there's a no hitter in the kid's future, but not yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, Tony La Russa doesn't stand alone in this idea that no hitters. I don't know if overrated is the word, but we now see, you know, three and four guys combined for no hitters and being celebrated, which to me is not the same thing. But okay,
no, it's not at all. It's not at all. That's a recent phenomenon that I don't understand.
But you know, look, we talked about it last week. You know, is there? I mean, it seems to be damning Michael Kopech, but is there a part of, you know, some sort of part of diva to the approach? You know, he's bowed out. He's come, had Tommy John surgery. They're handling him, obviously, very conservatively. But when you see him on like that, I mean, this is the guy that everyone envisioned as he made his trek through the Sox farm system, right? Everyone was anticipating that he was going to be the start of the staff. When he finally arrived and got in the rotation. Now, he had hiccups and obstacles along the way, and you're still not sure exactly how he slots in. But when he gives you a game like last night, obviously, you know, no one's argued that the talent isn't there. It certainly is there. It's just consistently, can it be there start to an end of the season? We haven't seen that yet.
Right. We've got audio here on Tony keeping Kopech in. Let's hear that.
That's as far as he should have gone. For this game, for the rest of the year, for his career. But he was, in fact, people think I'm old school, I'm really new school. I would change the definition of a win. If we win the game, he's got to get the win. I don't break a little bit his heart, but, you know, a game like that, where we score after he leaves. But, yeah, I know, I was aware where it was. I knew it wouldn't be popular, but... I don't want to have regret.
He's been very understanding all year of the way that you guys have approached his usage.
Yeah, every time he hasn't been happy, he wanted to go back out there because he really had good command of his fastball. But, you know, you reach back for extra when you're tired, when you get into that limit, that's bad things happen. So, very difficult. Felt like the right thing to do. And, you know, and, it was my decision, but Ethan also felt the same way. That helps.
I haven't agreed with everything that Tony's done this year, not even close. But that I'm okay with. I'm just okay with it. He's looking out for him, and I think it's important that he got out of the game before things went bad. That way he retains that confidence because he has been up and down this year, Brian.
And I mean, I get what he's saying that, you know, you hate to see a guy get no decision out after going out there and doing what he did for six innings. I don't know how you would. Because he had no, Tony didn't go the step further and tell me how you would define the win instead of going old school and saying you left with a lead and you pitched your five innings, so the win's going to be yours as long as you maintain that lead. Is it just subjective? Does the official score say, well, yeah, that Kopech was the reason they won the game? So, I mean, I get what he's saying because you want to credit, give him some credit or give him more credit than he got. He got a no decision. I don't know what that looks like, how you would define a win, you know, necessarily when you did pull him and there was no score at the time. So,
well, it's been like that for years, right? There are pitchers that have deserved a W in certain situations, but officially didn't get it. You know, it's all about him knowing that he performed well. It's all about him building on this performance. Next time we see him out, hopefully he doesn't slide back. There have been a few comparisons, not direct comparisons between him and Cease, because right now it's night and day. However, we remember Dylan Cease last year having some really bad outings where he was trying to paint the corner. It wasn't happening. He got really buried under the pitch count, and he was gone after four innings. And this year, he really straightened that out. And boy, it would be nice if that was in Michael's future. But we'll have to take it game by game. But yesterday, much better than the last time he pitched. But we still need offense, Brian. And we're going to see the Astros.
You think?
We are going to see the Astros this week. And they are unforgiving. You know, the Tigers, it's this phenomenon that we play down to our competition, it seems.
Well, because, Thursday afternoon.
I couldn't even watch it. I'll be honest with you. I had some things to do. It was a beautiful day.
You tweeted out that you were going to be eating straw.
I was chewing straw like a country boy. I'm just sitting chewing straw on my tractor.
Because Field of Dreams game was that night?
Yeah. I was in the mood. Although I was missing that the White Sox were there. And I didn't miss – I've missed Harry Carey, but I don't ever want to see anybody dressed like him. That's another situation. That's trying too hard.
We talked about going to a hologram concert.
I tweeted out that I was going to be doing some yard work, getting the car ready for the car show this weekend, doing all the kinds of things, but sitting and watching the Sox because I knew if they had a bad performance, it was going to bother me that I devoted my eyes and ears for 3 hours on an afternoon. So I listened on the ESPN app,
on the most beautiful day of the summer.
Yes. And it was that was the deciding factor. It's like, this is a beautiful day. I can't be inside. My TVs are in the house. I don't have a TV in the backyard. I can't be out. So I'm going to listen on the app and I'll be damned. That was the greatest decision because I heard the whole game on the app and I'm so glad I got something done because that was painful just listening.
Bases
and
loaded,
not because Lynn and DJ's call. Oh,
no, bases loaded, nobody out, no runs.
If there was a trophy for that, Brian, if there was a trophy, MLB trophy at the end of the year, we would be proud owners of that on the South Side.
Well, the Chicago White Sox currently rank 10th in the American League with a .209 batting average with the bases loaded.
I'm surprised it's
that high there are a few teams behind them. 39 points lower than they were last season. Not exactly ripping the cover off the ball last season, but the entire week. It's this is the same week they've had about 12 of them so far this year, right? Win one, look good. You get a nice pitching performance.
I've lost count. It's been way too many.
But we'll get into it. And the Bears are going to take the field today for their first preseason game. And
that's exciting.
Mark Potash from the Sun-Times is will join us from the press box at Soldier Field because we have a noon kick on the Chiefs coming to town. And the plan is that Justin Field is going to be out there for 15, 20 snaps. Now, did you see what happened with Zach Wilson last night?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And that plays into the hands of Matt Nagy's, our previous coach, and his philosophy is losing a quarterback to a major injury in preseason.
It didn't even get hit. It took a bad step on a rollout and came up with a knee injury. They don't believe it's an ACL, but they're going to have more tests done today, and they'll know more about it. But it could be, you know, this is the danger because Cairo Santos was out there kicking field goals at Soldier Field and gave us a report. He's like, it's already this crappy? Is that possible? Well, usually it's midseason where he starts in spray painting the dirt spots because there's no grass growing.
Right.
I used to cover games and they had a sod crew, right? The sod squad would literally during TV timeouts, there'd be 10, 12 guys sideline to sideline going and replacing huge divots, right? And stomping them down. But
somebody's got to call the sod father, although he's busy right now on the south side.
Well, they had an Elton John concert there last beginning of the week.
Yes, they did.
Then, you know, they've had soccer games. And again, you have this long shot belief, fantasy, mayor life, that you're going to get the Bears to stick around, which you're not. But this is the problem. You know, when you have a concert at Wrigley Field, they cordon off the infield, right? No one can sit there or stand there and watch their favorite band. They preserve at least the infield grass. That isn't what happens when you have concerts at Soldier Field. Every inch of available space goes to a seat or a paying, you know, ticket. So
yep.
It's scary to think if the field is that bad, is there something in the back of your mind saying, maybe Justin Field doesn't need to be out there for 15 to 20 snaps. Maybe you just don't do that right now. But
we'll talk about things to watch today. Yeah. We have plenty to talk about. We have a poll up at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. We'll get to that and more when we come back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times joins us at 10 a.m. this morning to talk about the first preseason game. We'll get into the sod conditions, what we can expect to see, the Roquan Smith situation, which just seems to be weird. It looks like he overplayed his hand, but we're talking White Sox now. 312-332-3776. Brian, we've got a poll up on ESPN 1000 at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. Who has been the biggest disappointment for the White Sox this year? Now, I could have put Tony in one of these slots, but we're just talking players that actually play the game, because for a lot of people, it's not about the coach, it's about the players. And our choices him are Tim Anderson, Yasmani Grandal, Yoan Moncada, and I threw Lucas Giolito in there too, because certainly he has not been on the top of his game like he has in previous years. So if you want to weigh in on that, hit us up on Twitter or hit us up here at 312-332-3776. So you didn't have a problem with Tony pulling Kopech in the interest of, trying to just save his arm, as opposed to push him over the line for a no-hitter. I mean, you know, I don't think he would have gotten it. I think he would have eventually given up a hit and maybe got into some trouble.
No, I have no issue with that. Now, I have issue with people who don't have issues with a manager, because I
right.
Both things can be true at the
same
time. But
do managers matter? I'm only kidding.
I get that they get too much of the credit and too much of the blame. I do, but both things can be true. Players can underachieve and not give you full effort, consistent effort, and all that, and can underperform and underachieve. But at the same time, a manager does set a tone.
Yep.
A manager does set whatever accountability there is or is not. And if you're going to say it doesn't, you know, Tony's part of the problem. He's not the problem. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
And I,
tw-
I tweeted out after the Thursday debacle when they went, what, 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position, and they had three innings, including the bases loaded, nobody out, and second and third, nobody out, and no runs to show for it. That if I tweeted out, if I was a GM with actual authority, Rick Hahn, I would have been waiting in his office to tell him he gone. And that would have been about the 10th game this season that I could have.
10 games too late, but yes.
I mean, and it doesn't matter. Okay. Tell the Philadelphia Phillies fans it doesn't matter. Okay. Because Joe Girardi not there, and the Phillies are trying to be a playoff team and are now in the thick of things, right?
It happened in Toronto.
Right. It's just. Tony's had a week again, right? He's mm-hmm. now defending Luis Robert for not running out. I mean, Steve Stone even called him out. Steve has been very pro happy-go White Sox this season. He has not come down on him, but
have been times where you could read between the lines. He hasn't been super obvious, but this time he was like, you know, if your philosophy is don't run it out hard, don't run hard, don't, you know, go after it, you're not going to win many games. And you can't say it any plainer than that.
Well, he said, apparently hustle is an option. Hustling is an option.
Right.
And we talked about it initially when it came to light that they had the DNR list, the do not run list, right?
Yep. Yep.
And it's like on a routine ball, don't run hard because you could get an owie on your hamstring or whatever. You could. Okay. Well, routine balls turn into errors sometimes. So sometimes a guy boots a ball. And if Luis Robert hadn't, you know, lollygagged out of the box on that in the game Thursday, he was out by an eyelash because the second baseman recovered and threw him out. If he had actually taken a meaningful step out of the box, he would have beat that out. You would have had runners on the corners with nobody out. And
yep, you
know,
absolutely.
But here's Tony. Oh well, you know, we came back. Don't worry. We Grandal gave us the 2-run home run. And we were rallying. Did anyone really think when it was 4-2 they were going to win that game? I certainly did not. But it's been a week, and see, this is when you kind of support the halfway. Don't bust your butt. Don't, you know, it's a long season. We don't want people hurt, and we've had people hurt. Then when that happens, it's glaring, and people make note of it and make comment on it. And, you know, Luis Robert hustles 95% of the time, but he didn't on that play.
And look, when you get caught like that, that's when it's going to be an issue. Not only that, Brian, but I really took issue with the fact that Tony reacted the way he did when he heard about what Johnny Cueto said.
Oh,
we need Johnny Cueto to have said this months ago. He did. He appears to be the leader. He appears to be the one willing to talk to the media and say what needs to be said. And Tony acted like, ooh, that's a curious statement. We should keep it in the family.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know what? We started talking about this last week, and I really do believe this is true. This team, Tony has over-adjusted to the new way of playing baseball to the point to where he doesn't hold anybody accountable. Everybody's being treated with kid gloves, and this has become apparent because now the team has taken on his personality.
Yep, Johnny Cueto came out and said, we better start showing the fire if we have any. That's pretty damning. And
yes, it is.
I'm gonna side with Johnny Cueto on this. He's been around baseball a long, long time. He knows what it looks like. He knows when a team does have fire and does bring it every day and doesn't just pay lip service to it. And so when Tony did use the word, well, that's curious, and I tweeted out, no, that's obvious. How about that?
Yes, it is. And then
you know, yesterday, before the game, he's explaining away and rationalizing and defending Luis Robert for not running it out. Let's take a listen because, you know, he said we'll have that conversation if we need to, but he doesn't feel like you need to right now.
We're going to, yeah.
I thought last year we were not very good.
Not very good?
No. I think this year we went through this. We had at least four guys with leg injuries that we're good enough to play if we didn't push it. I know all of a sudden it gets magnified yesterday with, you know, when Robert said, hey, I also see Robert in a position where he's taking care of his legs. He does a routine ball and then looks bad, looks really bad. But you see him get on the bases when he's got a chance. It's hard to say he's not hustling. So watch him in the outfield running balls down. So I don't think we're perfect. But I think you know, we're doing well enough.
That's selective hustling, Brian.
and you're playing with fire when you even verbalize that, you know, hey, be careful out there. If it's routine, don't bust, because you could bust something. You could hurt. He says
it's a bad look. And not only that, but the opposing teams, they hear this. They see what's going on.
They don't have to rush a throw because they know that they're not going to be going. Hey, look, he just said we're not perfect. But what do you say? We're perfect enough. You're a 500 team.
No, okay? That's not perfect enough.
That isn't. That's not the
there's perfect and imperfect. There's no in between.
Yeah, that I mean, and you're not perfect enough. The fact that you've been squarely a 500 team for a year now, going back to the middle of last season, you know, it's so frustrating. And look, I told you that, you know, that I toe tagged them a week ago Friday.
You did.
And they just went and took another week off the calendar doing the same stuff they've been doing the entirety of the season. So why would I expect anything different?
It's hard to. 312-332-3776. Up against the break, Jim from downtown is waiting patiently. We'll get to him and your calls right here on ESPN 1000.
There are millions of places to get ESPN Chicago. There are smart speakers, phones, podcasts, standing in front of the old National Bank studio on State Street.
Hello?
There's Twitch.tv, FMHD, and of course, the original ESPN 1000 on the AM dial. We're glad you found us. And so are these very patient hosts, Mark Zander and Brian Hanley.
Taking your phone calls on Saturday morning, ESPN 1000. We've got baseball today. We have football today. Yeah. Mark Potash coming up at 10 a.m. to talk about the Bears. He'll be talking to us from the press box that is from Soldier Field. We've got Jim from downtown wants to jump on and talk Sox on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm a Sox fan since 1959. It took 88 years to win a World Series. And I don't expect another one. Maybe we'll get one in the rest of my lifetime. I don't know. But we're not exactly the juggernauts of baseball. The Cubs are 108 years. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on in between time. That's just anybody's guess. But the Sox, I thought on paper, looked like a great team. It looked like one of the best teams they've had since I've been a fan. The problem is it's like having a great racehorse that you're trying to get to the track. And you can't get them into the starting gate. I mean, we've already passed all mathematic possibilities. You have two teams in the same city and I went for hundreds of years. It's mathematically impossible, but we seem to do it. St. Louis, on the other hand, they seem to field a good team consistently. The same with New York. They seem to field good teams consistently. Is it money? Is it scouting, whatever it is. Anyway, thanks for taking my call, guys. You guys have a good morning.
Thanks, Jim. Jim brings up good point. We talked to your friend from St.
Derek
Louis.
Gould, yeah,
a few weeks back about how they keep fielding a solid team. Look, winning matters down there, and winning doesn't seem to matter here. It's more about money. I mean, that's the only assumption we can make as fans, because you can throw money at the problem. We just don't seem to be willing to do that here. And one thing I will say, it became apparent to me this past week, and it's been rolling around in my head. You know, Rick Hahn, first of all, we don't know how much control he has. A lot of people said it's all up to Jerry, and certainly it is with Tony La Russa. But we don't hear enough about Kenny Williams. You know, how much does he have to say? How much is up to him? Who is really the gatekeeper of the money? And the philosophy. But, you know, Rick was right in coming into this season thinking that if the core, and we know who the core is, Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Yasmani Grandal, Moncada, Vaughn Abreu, Vaughn's been playing great, and Abreu is certainly, being Jose Abreu, especially in hot weather. But to expect that we're going to get the most out of these players, you have to go in and expect that, and dealing with the injuries and then dealing with them not playing up their potential, this just goes to show Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams that you have to plan for the worst. And they did not make a plan for the worst case scenario. And this has certainly been the worst case scenario. They were just hoping for the best because we certainly, on paper, as Jim said, we have the talent. It just, for a lot of different reasons, hasn't worked.
Well, look, they have spent some money, but it hasn't really paid any dividends. And Grandal, okay, it's great they had a two-run home run the other day. The fact of the matter is he has not lived up to that contract.
Not at all.
And you know, he's got a 204 batting average and 566 OPS.
He's not even walking like he did last year.
No.
Which helped. And,
you know, so you have the Dallas Keuchel stuff. I mean, that was money not well spent. Yoan Moncada looks like that's a lot of money that's still owed in the future that it doesn't look like it's going to be well spent because he gives you some moments or a game or two, but he doesn't give you a season since 21 or 20. Here's the biggest problem. Mark Gonzalez in the Sun-Times looked it up today. The White Sox entered last night's game swinging at 36.4% of the pitches outside the strike zone, the highest percentage in the American League, according to Fangraphs. It's about approach. It's about plate discipline. It's about knowing situations. It's about being clutch. It's about knowing when to look for a pitch to drive. And you can't, you know, we talked about their futility when they have the bases juiced and they just don't get it done. And they don't have those luxuries to be last or in the team picture for a lot of these. You know, we documented and talked about it ad nauseum, but they don't hit home runs. And, right. and Tony was funny the other day because he was asked about it. And he's like, well, you know, we've had a lot of warning track fly balls. When the balls hit, you're like, whoa, hey. And then you're like, no. And he said it happened in Kansas City several times.
What does that matter? It's just a big excuse. It's such a waste of time. Yeah. He should have said, yes, you're right. We haven't hit enough home runs. And by the way, I miss home runs because you know what else they do beyond, you know, count as a run? They're exciting. Home runs are exciting. They're fun.
The dugout should react to a home run. The dugout, the clubhouse should feel good if you know that you're capable on pretty much any given day of at least putting one in the seats, if not a couple. But anyway, you know, people are Twitter was on fire this week. You know, White Sox lead the league in singles. And I mean, it doesn't add up. It adds up to being, what, 56 and 55. That's what it adds up to. It adds up to a 5-5 in your last 10. It adds up to this type of season.
Mediocrity.
And by the way, the Cleveland Guardians are on a 6-game win streak. Okay?
Yep. And I told you they were more of a worry to me than the Twins. And look what's happening.
There you go. And I mean, you'd be hard pressed to make the case that there's a 6-game win streak in the White Sox future.
No.
Between now and the end of the season. Just because
I think that that would surprise the hell out of every White Sox fan if we saw a 6-game win streak, which is, I mean, it's a high bar for this year, but it shouldn't be. Owen and Willowbrook is on the phone here. He wants to jump in, as he does each weekend here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Owen.
Hey, guys. At the beginning of the show, you said who's the biggest disappointment. It's a hard choice, but, you know, it's got to be.
I know, Moncada for you.
But on top of that, that clip you played of Tony La Russa, he sounded like the lawyer. He's got a law degree. He sounded like a public defender.
That's a great point. Yeah.
This team has not been hustling all year, and fans should ask for refunds back. They spend their hard-earned money to see people not hustle. If you remember in 2005, Ozzie Guillen had Uribe hit a fly ball to the warning track. Uribe stood at home plate and watched it. Didn't move. Next inning, he was out of the game. Guillen blasted him, and then Uribe went on to be one of the better players. And I'll tell you the difference between Uribe and Moncada. And I noticed it last year. If you remember that play where Uribe went into the World Series, went into the stands, without worrying about getting hurt, made a great play. Last year in Houston, in a key point of the game, there was a play near the wall. Moncada went for the foul ball, pulled up, almost slipped and fell, and didn't get the foul ball. After that, they scored 300 runs. This team has not been hustling, and the guy who really deserves a big F, and I know everybody says who has the purse strings. But if Hans the face of this team as a GM, he has an F for what he did, not only at the trading deadline, but for overrating this talent. They're a bunch of two-year-olds with no patience at the plate. They keep making errors, and they'll never win six games in a row because they don't do things right.
Thanks, Owen. We appreciate it. Yeah, Owen has a point. The talent was not rated correctly, apparently. But then again, you know, you got to throw the injuries in there. I'm not using it as an excuse, Brian, but it's real. And when they're on the field, they've come back from their various injuries. They have not performed to potential. So on paper, not getting a stud right fielder and a stud second baseman, I think Josh is good. You know, he's not that stud, but not getting those, that's what Han did because he valued the rest of the roster so highly. And that perhaps was the big mistake. We actually have audio. I wanted Jake to find this. Thank you, Jake. I'm finding this. Darren Jackson on the radio call on ESPN 1000 had the perfect commentary on Luis Robert not hustling from the other day. Let's hear that right now.
I think Luis took it for granted out of the box. He just thought it was a routine little ground ball, so he ran half speed about the first five, six steps and then turned it on, and there's the difference. I mean, it should be the opposite, Len. On every ball hit, it should be you have a reason to run hard until you don't, rather than I'll run soft until I have a reason not to. It's just got to be flipped.
Darren Jackson for manager, please. I mean, come on. Could it be that it's that simple? DJ had a perfect reasoning for that. It is that simple. You turn and burn until you know. I mean, because that's avoiding injury too, right? Why would you run it out if you know that it is going to be, it's not bobbled, it's a solid throw, you could pull up a little. What's the difference? You're still kind of maintaining. And we know about Tony and his DNR list because he told us about it.
Which is crazy.
Right. You can't make this stuff up. You really, really can't. And I will say this, Brian, and I'm going to compare Tony to another lawyer. Rudy Giuliani has ruined his reputation.
Goodness. Why would you do that?
Let me finish this. I know it's a ridiculous, dramatic stretch.
America's mayor's gone off the rails.
This is what that guy has ruined his legacy. Is this going to happen to Tony here in Chicago? Now, Tony didn't win a championship here, but he was certainly beloved for what he did with the White Sox, winning ugly and all that kind of thing. And we thought him coming back.
He is.
But I'm talking about here. Whatever goodwill he had here, is this going to be ruined because what's happening this year?
Well, I mean, look, when the owner holds the front office and the fan base hostage because he's righting some wrong from decades ago, I mean, that's a horrific way to operate.
Yes, it's a first bad step, and it can only lead to worse.
And then to be stubborn enough to continue on with this, and basically, it's out there that Tony has to quit. He's never getting fired.
Yep.
Again, I'm not claiming. You know, I get guys like Fred Huebner, our buddy. You might point to eight games that give or take, bad or good, that a manager impacts throughout a 162 season. I get it. But there are things that they do, like set a tone, hold people accountable. If not, why even have a guy in his 50s, 60s, 70s wearing a uniform every day sitting at the end of the dugout or standing on the steps?
I totally agree. They do matter. The degree of which is debatable. But I'll tell you something. Those 8 or 10 games that you're talking about right now, if we had those 8 or 10 games, this would be a different situation. 312-332-3776. We'll be back to take your calls. Talking White Sox, Mark Potash of the Sun-Times joins us at 10 a.m. here to talk Bears on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Xander and Hanley on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
There's record-setting pieces of this contract I knew for a fact was going to show him the respect that he deserves, and obviously that hasn't been the case. With that said, you know, we can't lose sight that this isn't about one player. My job is to build a roster that's going to sustain success for a long period of time.
That is Chicago Bears GM Ryan Poles on the Roquan Smith contract. What a mess that we didn't see coming, did we, this year, Brian?
No, we certainly didn't. I mean, Ryan Poles has had a week. Now, to his credit, he didn't pull a Ryan Pace and you know, not come front and center. He took on an issue that needed to be addressed head on. You know, Ryan Pace would speak at the beginning of the season, then you wouldn't see him till the end of the season when they were explaining away how bad the season went. This has gotten, in the last 3 days, now that was Wednesday when Ryan Poles went up to the podium, because out of nowhere, no one saw the, well, you know, back up here, Roquan Smith is trying to get a record-setting contract, apparently, by all reports, for a linebacker, and wants to be paid somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 million for 5 years. And he's 25 years old, and there's no arguing he's the best player on the roster. That's where.
But is he the best? Is he top tier in the NFL?
Well, what he is an agent, and he doesn't have representation. And so when he put out in writing that he's been disrespected and basically it's been take it or leave it negotiations for Ryan Poles, a first year GM, by the way, who's trying to, you know, get his sea legs and earn the respect not only within the building but around the league. So he put him in a real trick bag, because in that trade request, he said, basically, you know, I should go talk to the McCaskies. I haven't had that opportunity. George McCaskey is a Jerry Jones. George McCaskey lets people do their jobs. George McCaskey is not going to undercut Ryan Poles, certainly anytime, because that's not the way he operates, but certainly not on his first big, you know, contract negotiation. The owner's not swooping in and saying, give the kid whatever he wants. You know, I get you want to save 5%. Right. And you don't want to give some guy, an agent, a portion of your salary.
When you're talking that, you know, and I know you said I get it. And I do, too.
I mean, no one's doing it, but you should do it. I mean,
this is my point. This is my point. 5% of all that money to not get your hands dirty and have a professional tied you is invaluable.
OK. And so Ryan Poles said there's some record-setting parts to this contract. Now, Ian Rappaport came out a day later and said, well, it's a backloaded contract, and no one knows what the guaranteed money is. I mean, one thing about NFL contracts, Mark, you know this, the numbers look great. I mean, how many years and what's the total amount of money? It doesn't mean anything unless you know what the guaranteed money is, right? Because
right.
A lot of guys won't see the last 2-3 years of that contract in the backloaded big money. So that happens, you know, Ian Rappaport comes out and says that, which certainly, you know, muddies the situation. And then Mike Florio comes out yesterday and says, by the way, even though he doesn't have an agent, somebody on behalf of Roquan Smith, now this is Mike Florio's reporting, is calling teams around the league, which you can do if the team allows you to do it. I mean, that's, if you're at a contract impasse, and you see it in the NBA all the time, the team will tell the agent to go shop your guy and bring back a deal that makes sense.
Right. That's when a contract is over with, right? Not
well,
when
pretty
you're
much.
Certainly he's still under contract for another year. And I'm just wondering, yeah, you know, he's overplayed his hand just a little bit here right now in this moment.
Well, but the thing is, they haven't given Roquan Smith or anybody associated with Roquan Smith the permission to call other teams and look for a trade. And then, so that's technically going to be tampering, and by the NFL rules and bylaws, those teams have to tell the Bears they've been contacted. Now, you know, this is Mike Florio saying that his sources are saying that somebody on behalf of Roquan has upped the ante and started calling teams and like, hey, you know, it's not going to work here in Chicago. Come make a deal with the Bears and then pay me. And you know, this has really gotten messy within the last 72 hours, where you thought it was just a hold in and eventually they're going to come to numbers and terms, which they still may. But right now, the odds are that's a shrinking solution here, right? That it seems to be going the opposite way in a quick hurry here. And the Bears did take him off the physically unable to perform list.
That means they could fine him for every practice he misses?
And they haven't done so yet. But he's still holding out. He's still on the sidelines of practice with his sunglasses on. So we'll talk to Mark Potash here in a couple minutes. But that you know, preseason game number one, your guy Matt Nagy coming back with the Chiefs today and the Matt Nagy revenge game.
My guy?
Yeah, your guy. you were always a big word salad guy. But, I mean, there are things to look at on the field, especially if Justin Fields is going to be out there for the first 25 or 15 to 20 snaps. But the bigger picture here is, how does Ryan Poles get out of this? You know, does he come to terms with a 25-year-old, very talented player? Or is this, you know, now because this has gotten so messy, if he were to trade Roquan Smith, is he taking a discount? I mean, are you going to get 70 cents on the dollar? Because the entire league knows what's going on there, right? And if they feel like you're in a position where you have to trade the guy, you're not getting the same value you might have got 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 312-332-3776. I can't help but just think that him not having professional representation has really screwed this up, and it's not going to come out favorable for anybody at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, people are now saying, you know, social media, there are people claiming that the Bears have had, quote unquote, had Roquan Smith's back. He's an immature kid, and basically they've saved him from some situations, and he knows this. I mean, I don't know what that means. You know, it's all of a sudden people are throwing shade at Roquan Smith, and, you know, and that the Bears have protected him. You know, he didn't show up at one point last season, and there was really no excuse. No one came out and said he was hurt or anything else. But there's no doubting his talent, but there are a lot of doubts about how this is being handled, maybe on both sides, because if the Bears are trying to backload a contract and not come up with the guaranteed money that a player of his talent and his point in his career should get, then, you know, maybe they're trying to be a little too cute. And certainly Roquan Smith is not helping his own situation by being his own representation or having someone in the family, you know, picking up the phone and calling, you know, name the team, the Packers or the Kansas City Chiefs, whoever, right?
Yep. We're going to talk to Mark Potash of the Sun-Times about this and about the first preseason game today, kickoff at noon against the Kansas City Chiefs.